We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. If you just joined us, my guest today is Robin Eckhart. She is a food writer, a travel journalist, a blogger, and more importantly, she's just put together, with the help of her husband, Istanbul and Beyond, exploring the diverse cuisines of Turkey. And you think Turkey and you've never been. Well, you should probably fix that. Even though Turkey has been in the news for less than shining things in our eyes through talking heads on the news, you've got to understand that it's a complex and diverse country. And it's completely different than some of the other countries nearby that are in chaos. And they all had or have great food. It's just now all we hear is the bad stuff, and I hate that. Her husband, David Hagerman, takes the pictures, and just thumbing through some of the things I have here about Istanbul and beyond and looking at the photos, it's just magical stuff. And the food, let's talk about, first off, why Turkey? What got you to think about Turkey? Had you been before, or did you guys just pack up and say, let's go to Turkey and check out the food scene?
In 1998, we were living in Shanghai. Dave was working for an American company there, and I was working on a PhD in political science with a focus on China. And we had 3 weeks of vacation over Chinese New Year, which is in the winter, around January, February. And we had award miles that would get us to Europe. And we found that probably Europe was too expensive for us. So a friend said, I don't even remember who, said, you know, I don't know, I know some people who went to Turkey and they really liked it. And so we said, okay. So we just, it was easy to get award tickets to Istanbul in the middle of winter. And we went. And yeah, I mean, I actually love Istanbul in the winter myself. But we went and we spent about 8 days. It was during Ramadan. I mean, I don't know if you were there. You were probably there during Ramadan. It's not eating during the day, but then every night it's kind of like a party. And then we spent 2 weeks on the road. We picked up a car and drove south and then drove inland and then ended up in the Mediterranean. And we just fell in love with Turkey. And on the plane ride back to Shanghai, I said to David, I don't know how and I don't know when, but Turkey is going to be a part of our lives at some point. And 6 months later, we moved back to the USA, the San Francisco Bay Area, where we'd been before. And I started studying Turkish at UC Berkeley. And my Turkish teacher, coincidentally, had written two Turkish cookbooks. She was a Turkish woman named Ayla Algar. This passion was ignited, and we revisited Turkey a few times. We moved back to Asia in 2002, to Southeast Asia, didn't visit Turkey for a few years, returned in 2010 for the first time in like 8 years. And by then we were both freelancing. I was writing and David was photographing, and just immediately felt that pull again towards Turkey. I don't know, you know, how to explain it really. I guess it's kind of like falling in love with a person. Who knows why? Then at that time decided, you know, let's do something here. Let's do some work here. And that eventually, after about another year, the idea for the book came.
While you're talking, I was cruising David Hagerman's Instagram page. And you were preaching to the choir, you and me, because I look at all these pictures and not just the food, but, oh, man, like the fresh fish. And then I see
exactly
there was a picture, I think the one of you on your author page on Amazon. And it looks like you're holding a baby goat, and it's so cute. And then my perverted food mind goes, goat.
Goat.
That's terrible. But
they're cute and they're delicious.
Yeah, well, it's sad but true. Okay, so you guys get there. And long ago when I was there, Turkish people are more friendly than some other Middle Eastern, Middle Asian people, especially if they just get to know you a little bit. And then, of course, when we left the base at Incirlik, and a lot of my food memories come from the drive between Incirlik and Konya, where our bombing range was. And Adil, the guy who was the head of the range complex, would drive us, and we'd stop and eat en route. You know, it was a pretty fur drive, 6-7 hours. And then during the week, we'd stop on our way to the range at 5:30 in the morning, and we'd stop at a bakery just before we left Konya and get this big round loaf of crusty bread mm-hmm. that was steaming hot out of the wood-fired oven.
Right.
And we would bring a jar of peanut butter from the base. And life was never any better when it came to breakfast food. And then, of course, all morning at the range, we're drinking chai out of little glass cups, and it was a hoot. And all these memories keep coming back as we just talk about those places in Turkey. And I know, having spent as much time as you did there and knowing the language, it had to be so much easier, more fun to be able to speak. And I imagine you wowed some local Turkish folks with your ability to speak Turkish.
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, Turks are so hospitable, as you know, and so welcoming and so friendly to strangers that if you just are able to say merhaba, which means hello, then that's fine. They're happy with that. They are excited that you've even made the effort to say one word. That's interesting that you talk about the road driving to from Adana to Konya, because I'm sure that is the exact same road that we took in reverse from Konya to Antalya in 1998. This book is basically the result of multiple road trips. We spent 16 and a half months about in Turkey, most of that time in eastern Turkey, and we only traveled by road, only traveling by car. And that's just one of the fantastic things about Turkey, is that, you know, there is great food around every corner. There is a wood-fired, you know, a traditional wood-fired bread bakery churning out hot loaves, or there is a lokanta, which is just basically a truck stop type restaurant with, you know, delicious soups and stews, and you can always get a fresh salad, and or, you know, you might end up in someone's home and they're serving you their homemade yogurt and cheese and tandoor bread. So road trips in Turkey are just about the best thing ever.
Well, and then as a side, not thinking of just food, one of the trips that we did, we came by bus from Incirlik to mm-hmm. Konya, and the guy I was traveling with, a wizo, a backseater, a very religious guy, and he brings this big folder of stuff, and I'm thinking, what are you studying? He goes, we'll talk about it on the way. And the bus had a very circuitous route to get there with multiple stops. It took all day. And we went past places. He goes, see, look, this is in the Bible. See that arch right there?
Wow.
And Turkey is filled with religious things for all religion, but certainly for Islam and for Christianity. I mean, you know, there's a lot of
The home of Santa Claus.
See?
St. Nicholas was born there.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. So you guys traveled around. I have to ask mm-hmm. you, a lot of people would go, like I said, you holding that baby goat. It's so adorable and cute. And first thing I think of is roasted in a big clay pan in a wood-fired oven, you know. But the most common things that you ate that you enjoyed and the most unusual things?
The most common things would be bread fresh out of a wood-fired oven. In eastern Turkey, there are still a lot of these places. They're called furen. It is basically a traditional wood-fired bread bakery. And we spent a lot of time in these places because they were not only sources of inspiration for bread, and there are a couple of the styles of bread in the book, but also these places are community ovens, and people will bring in, you know, their assembled dish and pay the baker the equivalent of 30 cents, and then the dish will be cooked in the wood-fired oven, and then they'll come back and pick it up to take it home. So we'd be in there when people brought in something, and I'd talk to the person about, you know, what they just brought in, and often when they took it out of the oven, I'd be offered a taste, or we might even be invited back to their house to eat. So those are the most common things that could be and were cooked in a wood-fired oven, stews, pilavs, and breads. Mm. And then the most unusual things, it's like, it's not really a, you know, bizarre foods kind of place, Turkey. I mean, there are some offal that's eaten. İşkembe is a tripe soup that people tend to eat after a night of drinking. I'm sort of, you know, warm on it. I'm not really a super big fan of offal. But for me, the most unusual things were, you know, things that contained ingredients that I had never associated with Turkey. And that would be like herbs like purple basil and cilantro.
Oh, yeah.
And when you go to the very far east, to the border with Armenia, Georgia, Iran, and Iraq, there was a lot of purple basil eaten. It's usually dried, and there was a lot of cilantro eaten. And that was just, that just kind of, I just had no idea. And I think that, but that's one thing about the book, is I think people will find foods that they have never, they would never in their wildest imaginations have associated with turkey, because that was my experience.
Yeah, a lot of, I ate a lot of spicy stuff, you know, raw green chilies, and not often cooked in the food. I don't recall a lot of food that was highly seasoned or hot with spice, but green stuff. And then, of course, I'll never forget the first time I had brains.
Yeah.
It came on like a salad plate, a big platter, and it looked like cauliflower, and but the texture obviously was different. You know, that's why they call it offal.
Or whole sheep heads are a thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Places. Oh, no.
So you just serve the whole head and you break it open. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, someone said to me, oh, you're going to love the brains. I didn't dislike the brains. I just didn't find them to have a lot of taste.
Yeah.
But, you know, the cheek meat is delicious. It's tender. It's just meat.
Yeah, if you get it away from the head part. And
from the head.
Yeah. I don't like to have somebody watching me while I'm eating them.
Yeah.
Well, look, let's take another quick break, and then we're going to have to talk a little bit about the book and some of the great recipes you put in there. We're not going to recite recipes or anything like that, but folks, right. You need to get a copy. Of course, you can get it. There's a link at goodlifeguy.com. You can go right to Amazon, but I think you should cruise around. If you first start at Eating Asia, that is Robin's blog, and you just type in Eating Asia and Robin Eckhart. Eckhart, will come right up, and then look at David Hagerman's these beautiful pictures on Instagram. It's you'll go, how can we? I've never had bloody fingers from peeling pistachios all day. Well, then you should go to Turkey. That's what you should do. Quick break, and we'll be right back with Robin and more Food One and Fun Furious from Turkey this time. Don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.